Chapter 12. If there's one thing worse than being carried through a city under the sweaty arm of a half-orc with 10,000 bells clanging at once, it's being carried through a city under the sweaty arm of a half-orc with 10,000 bells clanging at once while sobering up. In their haste, Tim had accidentally left behind his hip flask. That would be remedied once they made it to the Horse Head Inn, where he kept a spare flask hidden in the cellar. But for now, the bells and the menacing specter of impending sobriety were more than he could stand.
"We get it already!"
Tim shouted up at the unoccupied windows of a temple they were passing.
"It's 1,000,000 o'clock! Please knock it off with the goddamn bells!"
A second later, while the ringing bells inside his ears kept going, he was pretty sure that the bells had all stopped.
"Huh," said Tim. "I honestly didn't expect that to work."
"What the fuck was all that about?"
said Cooper, not yet taking into account that he no longer needed a shout to be heard.
"Have you not heard the good news?"
The voice behind them was suspiciously cheery, but a little muffled. Tim and Cooper turned around. If the happy conversationalist voice was suspicious, his manner of dress was doubly so. He wore tall, black leather boots, the tops of which were obscured by a thick brown trench coat. His gloves matched his boots, and his wide-brimmed hat cast a shadow over his face, which was completely bandaged, except for the eyes, which, despite the late hour, were covered by dark goggles. He must have been sweating like a rapist under all that shit.
"What's wrong with your face?"
asked Cooper.
"Cooper! Don't be rude!"
Tim elbowed Cooper in the leg, but was secretly glad he'd asked.
"Not rude at all,"
said the improbably cheery potential burn victim.
"It's a good, honest question. Most people just dance around the topic, but I can tell it's at the forefront of their minds. I prefer to just get it out of the way from the start."
He turned his face toward the light from a nearby street lamp, raised both hands to his left cheek, and pulled the bandages apart. Tim cringed and held his breath, expecting to see some nasty scarring, but he didn't see anything at all. Just a hollow space leading to the inside of the bandages on the other side of his missing head.
"Fucking A,"
said Cooper. He reached out and poked his finger into the gap in the bandages. It stopped where the man's face should have been.
"Ow!"
said the man.
"Please don't do that. I'm invisible, not incorporeal."
"You had yourself turned permanently invisible?"
asked Tim. The invisible man tucked his bandages neatly back into place.
"It's a boon to my line of work."
"And what line of work would that be?"
"Oh, I dabble in this and that."
The invisibility thing was cool, but Tim didn't have time to go fishing for answers to questions he didn't actually give a shit about.
"You said something about good news?"
"Ah, yes,"
said the man.
"A new god has joined the holy pantheon."
"A new god?"
The invisible man took a cautious glance left and right, then opened the left side of his coat, revealing wooden and steel pendants in a multitude of different shapes.
"Never too early to get in on the ground floor when it comes to god worship, am I right?"
Tim took a closer look. There were suns and stars with varying numbers of points and clover leaves and joined rings. There was even one that looked like a curvy swastika.
"Are these holy symbols?"
"Indeed they are. Now the question is, when your day of reckoning comes, will you be able to stand before your god and say that you are among the first few hundred to follow him? Opportunities like that are rare indeed. Gods aren't born every day, you know."
"Which one represents the new god?"
The invisible man shrugged.
"Take your pick. The effort alone should be enough to stick."
"You're just selling randomly designed holy symbols."
"Little is known of the new god, but his name."
"And what's that?"
"The temple leaders call him Jesus Christ."
"Fuck me,"
said Tim, mentally profiling the patrons of the Horse Head Inn, trying to narrow down a list of potential Mormons.
"It's caused quite the uproar, as you might imagine,"
said the invisible man.
"With so little to go on, the common folk have started filling in the gaps with their own wishful thinking. See for yourselves."
He nodded across the street. Tim and Cooper turned around. On the other side of the street, a kobold was having a heated argument with a goblin.
"He was born under a full moon,"
shouted the kobold.
"That symbolizes the egg from which he hatched."
"And you think it's just a coincidence,"
retorted the goblin,
"that the moon was at the center of the great gobloid constellation at the time of the announcement?"
"It's the great gobloid to you. To everyone else, it's the head of Rafa's staff."
"How many reptilian deities do you know?"
"Just the one,"
said the kobold.
"How many filthy gobber deities do you know?"
"Your mother!"
From there, the conversation continued in fists.
"You see,"
said the Invisible Man.
It's all a bloody mess. No one knows what to do.
No, said Tim. It looks like they've pretty much got the gist of it.
The Invisible Man looked down at Tim, curiosity showing through his empty goggles.
How do you mean?
Tim let out a shallow laugh.
Good luck selling your crap. We gotta be on our way. Come on, Cooper.
As Tim and Cooper continued toward the Horse Head Inn, they witnessed several more fights break out in the name of Jesus. What did he look like? Was he male or female? How many arms, legs, fins, tentacles, wings, heads did he have? Did he favor good or evil? Was he inclined toward law or chaos? That last question seemed easy enough to answer, at least.
Has everybody lost their goddamn minds?
Cooper wondered aloud.
What do you expect? Said Tim. We're bearing witness to a socio-political revolution. Polytheism is turning into monotheism right in front of our eyes.
Doesn't that usually happen a little more gradually? We went from zero to shitstorm in the space of a few hours.
I'll tell you exactly what happened. There's a group of Jesus freaks at the Horsehead who've been going around trying to convert locals.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either until just now, but it's the only thing that makes sense.
Cooper scratched his head.
That still doesn't explain how it happened so suddenly.
That's easy, said Tim. They've been at this a long time, but everyone's ignored them.
As you do.
Right, but tonight they got lucky. They reeled in a big fish, maybe an influential nobleman, maybe a famous bard. Think Tom Cruise in Scientology.
Okay.
Tim couldn't tell if Cooper was processing this or just nodding while thinking about tits, but he didn't care. He was fleshing out this theory more for himself than for Cooper.
So this gullible yet charismatic asshole makes a big announcement about how he's just come to know the one true God or whatever, and all those people who ignored our little band of proselytizers before start to wonder if maybe there was something to all that fire and brimstone talk after all. Your old gods are false. Convert now or burn in the fires of hell for all eternity. Throw in a little mob mentality, and this is what you get.
He thrust his hands in front of him to display the chaos unfolding. Most of the action centered around temples, and the fighting was largely limited to shouting matches, but the city patrolmen had their hands full breaking up fist fights, sword fights, and the occasional magic duel. The confusion was understandable. It had to be close to 2 a.m, which is a lousy time for a new religion to manifest. The entire population of the city fell into 2 groups, those who were far into the process of getting shit-faced, and those who'd just been jolted out of bed by thousands of clanging bells. When Tim thought about how this kind of shit would go down in a major U.S. city, he deemed it a testament to the king's peacekeeping abilities that the whole city wasn't on fire by now. The chaos lessened as they crossed into the collapsed sewer district, where the citizens stayed true to their reputation for having no fucks to give about anything.
Knock, knock, said Tim as he entered the Horse Head through the gap in the wall. Do you have a minute to talk about Jesus?
Tim, said Frank. Did you find anything? Did you find Mordred? Where is everyone else?
One thing at a time, Frank.
Tim climbed on top of a table and glared accusingly around the room.
I'd like to know which one of you born-again, Bible-thumping morons...
Excuse me, Tim, said Frank,
but Tim was not going to be interrupted.
They are literally rioting in the streets, Frank. You know where this leads. Holy wars. Inquisitions.
He picked up a half-drunk glass of beer, ignoring the objection of its owner, and raised it above his head.
Fucking prohibition!
As he necked back the beer, Frank tried to squeeze some more words in.
Actually, it was...
You can't just dump a monotheistic god into a polytheistic society like that. Which one of you mouth-breathing, holy-rolling rednecks thought it was the right time to bring Jesus to CNC?
Frank chimed in again as Tim swiped someone else's beer and sucked it back.
That's getting just a little bit out of...
Which one of you toothless, tongue-speaking, snake-fondling motherfuckers thought that now was the time, with Mordred out there gathering an army to come kick our asses, to start preaching the good word on the streets of...
Tim!
Frank shouted.
What?
It wasn't any of us, said Frank. It was the new guy you brought back with you, the Paladin.
Randy?
When he looked over his character sheet, he asked if Jesus could be the deity he followed. The game accepted it.
Oh.
Tim looked around the room. The faces looking back at him showed little in the way of warmth.
You can forget everything I just said. Where's Randy?
He took off after the new dwarf girl, said Frank. I think she's having a hard time adjusting.
Harder than you know.
Now, if you're done insulting all of us, how about a little news? Where the hell is everyone? Did you find Mordred?
No. Well, maybe. It's complicated. Cooper and I came back to get everyone's character sheets. You mind opening the safe box?
Fine, said Frank. Follow me.
As Tim and Cooper followed Frank down the cellar stairs, Tim started recounting to him the highlights of the night's events. The fire, the arm wrestling, Julian suddenly losing his shit about Ravenous.
So they sent me and Cooper back here to get our character sheets while they tried to track down Stacy, Julian, and his goddamn bird.
As he talked, Tim dug through a crate of miscellaneous pieces of armor.
Where the fuck is it?
Your character sheets are here, said Frank.
Grab those, would you, Coop?
Tim tossed a dented helmet out of the crate and shoved a pauldron to one side, revealing nothing.
Dude,
said Cooper.
What are you looking for?
I hid a spare flask of stone piss down here, just in case there was an emergency and we had to go on lockdown.
You must have been an Eagle Scout, said Frank.
Tim had no time for Frank's sarcasm. He tossed out gauntlets and leg pieces until enough of the bottom of the crate was exposed so they knew the flask wasn't in there.
Where the hell could it have gone? Nobody uses any of this shit.
The new dwarf girl spent a while down here, said Frank.
She had a flask when she finally resurfaced.
Tim turned to Frank.
That fucking prick swiped my booze.
Hey, hey, that's no way to talk about a lady.
Sorry, said Tim. That fucking bitch!
Frank looked at Tim with his weary, I've had enough of your shit face.
Shouldn't you two be on your way now?
Tim considered the long walk back to the horseman's house. Sticking around for a quick drink here was out of the question given the current temperament of the crowd upstairs. He could hold out until they reached their destination, but the flask he'd left there was running low. No general stores were open at this time of night. He looked at the floor and saw the dented helmet. He could turn it upside down and fill it with enough stone piss to fill up his flask, but he wasn't quite ready to reach that new depth just yet, not in front of all those judging eyes anyway.
Fine, said Tim. We'll be on our way.
He and Cooper started up the stairs.
You do that, said Frank. Well, I'll just clean up all this junk you threw everywhere.
Tim didn't know whether to apologize or give him the finger. Which one of them was being the bigger asshole right now? He wasn't thinking straight. He needed to get the hell out of there. Reaching the top of the stairs, he swung the cellar door open harder than he'd meant to. Everyone was staring at him. Every single person in there thought he was a complete dickhole, a grade A fuck-up. As he staggered between tables, their gazes converged on him like walls closing in. They moved their feet out of the way and held their drinks in their hands as he stumbled from table to table like a pinball. Finally spotting a clear path between himself and the gap in the wall, he made a break for it. Crossing the threshold, Tim stepped down hard on the loose board in the floor, which smacked him in the back of the head. He should have heard laughter coming from inside. The silence was far worse.